Now, Father, thank you for our brother Peter. We know that he's been going through a very challenging time. It's been so lovely to see him at church over the last few weeks. And right now he's been having a hard time, a down time. We ask that you would encourage our brother, that you would bring healing to his body that is struggling. And please would you also encourage Michelle and the family as well. Lord, we know that through Peter, he's been to see people and reminded me of that woman who was sick for 12 years. No doctor could help her. Lord, we look to you. We look to you to help Peter, to heal Peter, to restore him. And Father, in the same manner of dependence on you, we look to you now as we look at your word. We thank you for how it's been authored by your Spirit, but even the reading and understanding of your word is still subject to your Spirit. We ask that with open hearts we would allow your Holy Spirit to teach us, to remind us of old truths, to show us new truths concerning your glory and especially your grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 2008, I'm going to start off by sharing how Colin and I had the privilege and the joy to go on an Impact Africa trip, our second one, mission trip with Challenge Newspapers to Johannesburg, 2008. We had a beautiful time. I had the joy of teaching some black Africans, and the rest of the group were going into squatter camps and prisons sharing the gospel. But after our time there, Colin and I went to be with another missionary family in Cape Town, which is a beautiful part of the world, and we went there. And there's a big naval base there. I'll never forget having all these naval officers assembled, and I had the privilege to preach to them the gospel of Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it, to think of that? These people who are non-Christians, many of them, and you have the privilege to share Jesus with them. But the thing that really touched me, but another thing that touched me was how we were able to go to a huge squatter camp near the Cape Town airport. And in this squatter camp, a big squatter camp, in the middle of the squatter camp, there was an orphanage with a high fence around it to protect the kids from outsiders. And there was a lovely Christian couple, an older Christian couple with their workers who would attend to these orphan kids. And some of the stories are really sad. They would find unwanted babies on rubbish dumps and have to rescue them and bring them into the orphanage and to love them and care for them. It's horrible, isn't it, to think of what happens. But one of the things that the man, the leader of the group, told me was there was a woman who used to give them a very hard time. And I've shared this story with some of you before. And she was a woman who just hated the orphanage. And the reason why she hated it so much is because it was a Christian thing. And she just used to constantly, blaspheme Christ's name and curse all the workers and the leader of that orphanage. And the other thing behind her story is that she actually was a witch, a real witch, a worshipper of Satan. And so she was opposed to what they were doing. And they used to try and share with her, but she would just shut them down and blaspheme the fair name of our Lord Jesus. So it's pretty horrible, isn't it? But, you know, in her life, time came when she became very sad about life, became very depressed. And this critical day came when she decided that she would end her life. And so she went outside the squatter camp and she found a big tree with a strong branch and she put a rope up to end her life. And as she did that and hanging on the rope, this big branch broke. And it fell, and the main part of the branch missed her, so she didn't get hurt by the branch. And she's there on the ground going, "What on earth has just happened? I can't understand this." And so she decided to go back into the squatter camp and to go to the people she despised. And she went and spoke to the leader of the orphanage. And she shared what happened. And he just straight away told her how much she is loved by our God. And all that Jesus has done for her, and that this has been God intervening in your life to save you. And then on the other side of the fence, they're talking, she just breaks down and she gave her life to Jesus. And a witch became a Christian. How incredible. And then the man blew my mind away when he said to Colin and I, "You see that lady over there? She's the witch who became a Christian She is my most hard-working servant of all in this place. And I look at her and I go, well, I've met her a few times now. She is so radiant for Christ. How can this be? How can this be? God's grace. How amazing is God's grace that he should save a woman given over to Satan, a woman who made it really hard for those Christian workers, because God's a gracious God. And by his gracious will, he has chosen to save us if we would put our faith in Christ. And how could this woman be such a hard-working person for Jesus, radiant for Jesus? Because of God's grace again. God had taken hold of her. She had become his workmanship. And he was creating in her, recreating in her, the beautiful image of Jesus to replace the ugly image before. And those verses that come to mind when I think of those great things that happened to her are what we looked at last week. Let's have a read of Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. And this applies not only for that lady, but for all of us who are in Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That's a magnificent section of Holy Scripture. Saved by grace, but God's grace continues in the way that he takes hold of us if we are truly his, and we are his workmanship, and he begins to make us a person beautiful and delightful, bearing the image of Jesus, doing good works not for salvation, but because we are saved, doing good works for the glory of God. And that woman, I tell you what, I have to say it again, she was radiant for Christ. There's no way I would have thought she was a witch, a dark person, a satanic worshipper before that. She was just glowing Christ. The grace of God is beyond compare. That's what God's grace does in our life. So, moving on now into the next few verses, we're just going to look at verses 11 to 13 this morning. The Apostle Paul now mentions another huge aspect of the grace of God. Did you pick up who the grace of God has been extended to? It's been extended to you lot and me. Most of us are not Jews. Most of us do not have a line back to Abraham. Most of us are what we call Gentiles, pagan Gentiles. And what we read in the next few verses is something we just take for granted, but we shouldn't. We have also been favoured by God. Salvation has been extended to us as well, to a people who had no hope and were without God in this world. And when I think of this passage, it's rekindled my heart towards, wow, what God has done for us. Sometimes I forget these things. What an incredible thing that God has invited us also to be saved. Don't you feel so glad about that? I am. So this morning we're going to be looking at these three verses. So let's begin by reading verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Or in the NIV, without hope and without God. And Paul is reminding the many Gentile people in the Ephesian church how this is their state, how it was. And I want to think back through that. I want to think back to before Jesus came, let's think about Gentiles. Gentiles are the non-Jews, those who don't have a special relationship with God. And our ancestors were Gentiles. And what were our Gentiles like? Well, they were sinful Gentiles. They were pagan Gentiles. If you had your family tree going right back to the days of before Christ, you'd be horrified to think of what they did. They were caught up in the worship of false gods, into idol worship. That's how our lot was. We were so disconnected from the true God that we had given ourselves to this sort of thing. This is our ancestors. How do you feel about that? I'm glad our family trees only go back to about the 1800s normally. It'd be pretty dark if you kept going back. You know, our ancestors were into the worship of Satan without even realising it. Into satanic practices. They were such a caught up in immorality. Yeah, we had a conscience, but we seared it, killed it, and we're just doing our own thing. That's our lot. We were without hope. When it says those words, how true they were. We were without hope. We were without God. We were completely lost. We had no idea that there is a great one God, had no idea of who he is, had no idea that when you die, and if you're not right with God, you're going to be held in Hades for a time before the day of judgment, and then you'll spend the rest of eternity in hell. Had no idea of that. Completely lost. We thought life was all about this. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And we just revved everybody up to live immoral lives, ungodly lives, worshipping whatever you want. And we're so lost, without hope, and without God in this world. The Apostle Paul wants to remind us of our state. But I'm talking about our ancestors before Christ. What about the Gentiles today? We're going to look at something very special that Jesus has done. But when I look at the Gentile world today, that's the majority of our world today, I've got to say to you all that the scriptures continue to be accurate. We are still without hope. We're still without God because even though Christ has come, what have we done? There are many nations in the world that continue to follow false religions. There are many nations and cultures in our world that continue to bow down to idols and statues. And here in the Western world, Australia, a Western country, what about us? We don't worship idols. We're not so stupid to worship them, but we're so stupid to worship ourselves and the things that we make. And we are idolaters in another sense. We worship ourselves. We worship the works of our hands rather than the great creator of heaven and earth. And not only that, in our Western world over this last period of time, we have seen such a hostility towards the Christian faith. There's a move to remove, to eradicate Christ from our community, from our society. Do we not know that? And Christians are persecuted and put down, even in a place called Australia. And we still remain a people without hope and without God because of the way we've chosen to go. Wow, that's pretty full on, isn't it? Let those words echo in your mind. Without hope. Without God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it really captures how it is. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Without hope, without God. But let's now consider something else. And it's in verse 12, I want to bring verse 12 out, of Ephesians 2, verse 12. It says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And what I want to pick up here is that being a Gentile, we formerly had no access to God. We were excluded. We were separated from the covenant that God had with a certain people called Israel. We were alienated from God. Wow, that's how it was. Unless you were a Jewish person of the line of Abraham or a person who's converted to Judaism back in the days of old, then you had no hope. You were without hope and without God. You didn't have the scriptures. You didn't have the blessing of Moses, the covenant that God made with the people of Abraham. You were excluded. You were separated. Just take that in. Can you imagine that? That's how it was. No wonder Paul says, without hope and without God. I remember when you're in primary school, when you're excluded from being with the cool kids, it hurts, doesn't it? But you know, when they're picking the footy team And they go, and you're excluded.
Oh,
and it hurts. It hurts when you're excluded, when you're not allowed to be included. But you know, let me throw a little thing in here. We weren't included into the promises of God. We weren't included in the covenant that God had with his people Israel. And we didn't care. We didn't care that we weren't included. We were happy to be free of this God and to be our own God, make up our own God, do our own thing. A bit of a twist in the story, isn't it? And crazy, a lot of Israel people were happy with what we were doing and wanted to join us. They broke covenant with God and became a people like us who just lived for themselves and worshipped their own gods. That's the history of the Bible. What are they thinking? I have no idea. And us, what about us? We're happy being excluded, having no idea what that means. That's how it was. Together, we were a people separated from God. But something awesome happened when Christ came. And this is really, really special. I want you to understand this today, how incredible it was when Christ came into our world. And according to God's gracious plan, God was going to do something very different. And we should be all standing up shouting hallelujah. God had chosen to include everybody in the scope of his glorious salvation. Hallelujah. Do you not feel the glory of that? The wonder that God has done this. Once it was just for the people of Israel, but now it's for all people everywhere. God has included us in his salvation if we would trust in his Son. No one is excluded anymore. Jesus died upon a cross and bore the sins of the world. The sins of the Gentiles, the pagan Gentiles, the Satan-worshipping Gentiles, that witch in that story I shared earlier. He has died for our sins so that all can be included. And that is in the verse 13 of our Bible reading. Let me read from 11 to 13 to get the punch. Ephesians 2:11 to 13. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But, there's another but, there was a but in verse 4 too, but gone. Another but in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a most amazing verse. We were far off. We were lost without hope, without God. But Christ came into our world not just to save the Jewish people, but to save us. And I am so delighted in this. For me personally, and I'm so delighted that we can praise God together for this. Can you imagine, just for a moment, if that continued, that thing of exclusion, no matter how religious you were, no matter what you tried, imagine if you were excluded forever from being made right with God. Just picture that, what that would look like, that you were in this hopeless state because of your line, because you're not connected to Abraham, you are lost forever. Oh, that would be so hard to take in, but that's how it was. That's what makes it so special. That's why Paul mentions this here. The incredible grace of God to include all people everywhere. This is incredible. This is big. It's huge. And you know, friends, I love how this great truth was always in the plan of God. It's still plan A. You know that? He didn't just come up with it, oh, you know, I really feel for those Gentiles. Maybe I should change my mind. No. Always God had the plan for when his Son came into the world, that all people everywhere would have access to his glorious grace through faith in Christ. Let me show you a few beautiful verses in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, where Abraham has this wonderful blessing from God. This is how it all begins. We read in Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, Abraham was called Abram then. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see something interesting there? A lot of blessing on Abraham, but then God says, Abraham, in you, through you, will all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Who was God the Father thinking of? Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, the one, the Son of God, who would take on human form, take on the line of David, the line of Abraham, and he would be the one who would bring blessing to all the families of the earth. See how God had it in his mind? Way back then. Let's have a look at this great prophecy in Isaiah now, chapter 49, 5 and 6. There are many passages I could quote. I'm just thinking of the ones that really, really say so much. In Isaiah 49, 5 and 6. And this is, just so you know, when we read these are very special verses. This is Jesus writing these words down. It's amazing, but that's what's happening here. Listen to what it says. Thus says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, in order that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honoured in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. You see how that's Jesus? This is Jesus, the servant of the Lord, the one who would bring the Jewish people back to God. But then it says this, God says to him, it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. What a magnificent prophecy. I love that. My son, it's too small a thing for you just to save the descendants of Abraham. I'm going to make the scope of your salvation, the scope of you dying on the cross for all people everywhere. I love it. What a great God. What an awesome God. And so, Jesus came into our world. And he only ministered to the Jewish people. Do you remember that? There was that time when he met that Syrophoenician woman. I love that story. He has to tell her, I haven't come to help you. I'm paraphrasing. But he still helped her. Just showing us his heart towards the Gentiles, us pagan Gentiles. But you know, the thing that happens incredibly is in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, we have a whole lot of Jewish people, 3,000 on one day being saved, and then a lot of Jewish people being saved as they believed in Christ and they experienced the grace of God. And those who were near get right with God. They were near, but still lost. And they came to Christ and they were saved. But in Acts chapter 10, according to prophecy and the heart of God, what happens in Acts chapter 10? Meet a man named Cornelius. Is Cornelius a Jewish man? No. He's a Gentile. And something incredible happens. Peter gets a vision, a really special vision, to tell him that he is to go to this man's house. All right, so I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. Let's start off at verses 28 and 29. Otherwise, if I read the whole chapter, we'd be here for a while. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 10, 28. So Peter's come to Cornelius' house. Cornelius has got his whole family and friends gathered together. And we read, and Peter said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man like me, who is a Jew, to associate with a foreigner or to visit him, because he's a pagan Gentile, right? And yet God has shown me that I should not call any person unholy or unclean. That's why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. I have a little laugh there. There's no way Peter would have gone if it were not for God prodding him. All right, just got to remember that. Because he would not have associated with a Gentile. Let's pick it up in verses 34 and 35 now. Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the person who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. There it is, the door's opening. This is the first time in church history. The door is opening to who? To the Gentiles. This is it. Acts chapter 9, the conversion of Paul, amazing. Acts chapter 10, that's amazing too. Why do we dismiss that? Acts 10, this is the door being opened to us, the Gentiles. Cornelius and his family, the first Gentiles. Wow. And so we read, I won't read the whole thing, Peter shares what? The gospel. He shares the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. He shares the gospel and tells them that they need to repent to be saved. And in verses 44 to 47, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers, the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter were, what was it, does it say? They were amazed. Why are they amazed? How can this be? How can Gentiles be receiving the Holy Spirit? How can they be saved? It's only for us, isn't it? Us Jews. They were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Remember, that's what they experienced in Acts chapter 2. It's happening to them now. And Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did. Can he? And they were baptized. And the church became the Jew and Gentile church. It became one church. We were going to look at that next week. One people. The Gentiles were now included. And all I can think of is one great word in our Bibles. Grace. Behold the grace of God. Behold what he has done through his Son. He has opened the door to you and to me for all people everywhere to be saved through faith in Christ. That's how gracious God has been. Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. And just reading a few other verses in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it speaks of God's will there. God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We were a people without hope, without God. But in his wonderful grace, we are now a people with hope because Christ has died for us. And we can receive him. And we can know him in our life. Having him in our life is hope. The hope of glory. And I want to read one more verse. This really tops it for me. It's always been very special for me. It's in Revelation 4 and 5. Where we have the worship of our most holy God. And the worship of the Lord Jesus. The Lamb who was slain for us. And in Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. It says, worthy are you. This is all of Heaven's angels singing praise to Jesus. Worthy are you. And then it goes on to say, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That summarizes it. Jesus' blood was shed to save you and to save me. As I think about these things, as I was preparing this message, I am just so touched. It just touched me afresh. Imagine if we were still excluded from God. Just feel that exclusion, that you cannot be saved. You are not acceptable because you're not of the line of Abraham. Can you imagine if that continued? Praise God that he's broken down everything and has open arms towards all people everywhere. For a Christian, that should be so special, especially Gentile Christians. We were far away and lost, but we have now been brought near. And if you're not a Christian yet, as I think about these things, isn't it incredible that God has open arms to you? And you don't need to resist. You don't need to think you're no good, you're too bad, because Jesus has died for you. You are most welcome to be saved. To be forgiven of all your sins, like that witch at that squatter camp. You are most welcome through repentance of your sins and faith in Christ to be saved today. All praise be to a great God whose grace I cannot describe. It's beyond compare. How great is the grace that God has shown us, not just to the Jewish people, but to all people everywhere. Amen and amen. Boy, Ephesians has been full of grace, hasn't it? Praise be to his grace, and we're still in grace, and even these next few verses are all about grace. How good is our God? We're not going to sing Amazing Grace again, because otherwise we'd be singing it every week. We're going to sing another song, King of Kings. And King of Kings has, I picked this one because of the first verse. It says, in the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you, that's Jesus, came running and there was mercy in your eyes. Isn't that lovely? Let's stand and sing this together.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm going to read to you Ephesians 1 and then I'll pray. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8 says, "In him," and that's everybody who's in Christ, "in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace which he has lavished upon us." Wow. Lavished. That's our God. We praise his name. Our Father, thank you for these wonderful scriptures that we've been considering in Ephesians. And we know, as I look at these verses, they are just covered with that beautiful word grace. What a gracious God you have been. Even though you are holy and just, in Christ you have been so gracious to us. And we are so glad, of course we are, that we have been included in your grace. Even us Gentiles, even us who come from a real dodgy background, Lord, thank you for saving all people through your Son Jesus, if we would put our faith in him. And Lord, I look at our world now, the Gentiles have been so blessed, and the majority of this Gentile world is still without hope and without God because we have rejected your Son. Lord, it grieves my heart to see even us Western countries that have had the gospel and had a Christian foundation, that we should just turn our backs to you. Lord, have mercy upon us. Help us to be thoughtful and mindful that you are there, that you are a God of incredible grace and mercy. Please would you revive us and bring us back to yourself. Lord, thank you that you are such a gracious God, and we just cannot help but give you thanks and praise. Thank you for the grace that you have extended to all those who are in Christ. And Lord, we can't help but say hallelujah to you this morning. Praise your glorious name. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.